At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Do you want me to bring the angel back? Joseph, look! Look down there! They got your bones, Joseph! Look! You're like made of jello right now. They got your bones down there. Check it out. Look, oh man, look. Obi almost dropped you. Your bones are shifting now. Could you imagine this?
The Thunder bore two sons. One he named after himself, the other after the fathers that came before him, because the ego was generational. The Thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out. Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Let's dive in today with joy as our protest. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here. Another episode. You've made it. Congratulations. Everything in your life has culminated up to this moment.
Are you talking to me or the audience?
I'm talking to our audience.
Oh, people don't know we're in the same room. They think we're not in the same room.
Did you get that? I got a message. Yeah. It was like, hopefully you guys could maybe make enough money to do this in the same room.
Like we are. We're just not allowed to sit next to each other.
Yeah, we are. We thought about, I saw there's a bunch of Sons of Thunder podcasts. I don't know if you've been seeing all this or not.
I have.
There's one of them that's it's fairly new too. We do not know these guys. We're not associated with them. They seem to be good. I mean, they're talking about the Bible and stuff in a different way than we are. I'd say, yeah. In a different way. They seem much more like chill, and we thought it best to have cameras facing us like we're on a news show, and it's intense, right? That's what we were hoping.
I'm chill.
What was this?
I was on the news show.
Oh.
Listening.
Let me hang on just a second. Let me check it out.
I need that bullhorn. Why do we have a bullhorn in here?
Just in case. That would be, I don't know how that would work.
We need that.
Today's episode of the Sons of Thunder is sponsored by Holy Adjournments Company, the only office supply company founded during a 7-hour church business meeting that ended with a motion to pray and several emergency room visits. It started with a simple budget question. It ended with a mic drop, 4 redacted minutes, and a deacon trying to resign via the whiteboard. Now, Holy Adjournments Company offers you a church conflict survival gear, anointing oil-scented dry erase markers, highlighters that only work when the Lord says yes, and a 3-ring binder preloaded with grievances, side eyes, and tabbed receipts. Use code THUNDERMOTIONS for 20% off your next conflict-resistant church secretary starter kit and a free stress ball shaped like an elder. Holy Adjournments Company, equipping you to table the motion and then flip the table. Okay, so today's episode is sponsored by a bunch of sponsors. You've probably heard them already, or you will hear them scattered throughout.
We don't even know who they are.
We don't know who they are. Our production manager is going to makes all the edits and puts all that together. And so, much like our video editor, we got a video editor, we got a production editor, we got an audio editor. We're thankful for our huge team here at the Sons of Thunder podcast. Very grateful for all that they do, all the work they put in. Today, we want to talk about something. I wanted to bring it up. And so Joseph doesn't know much about what we're going to talk about. He knows a little. But I want to talk about something very specific.
Why'd you say it like that?
I want to talk about the bones of Joseph. That's what I want to talk about.
I feel like if you're going to get that personal, I need to know a little more. I'm pretty sure I have bones, but let's be honest, I've never physically seen them.
Not your bones. The Joseph in the Bible's bones.
Oh.
Hey, we did.
That makes a lot more sense.
We talked about, yeah. I wonder why you question marked the message I sent you.
I've literally.
What are you talking about?
I've never seen my own bones.
I haven't either.
You've never seen my bones?
I've had an x-ray before, so I guess I've seen a picture of what my bones look like.
Or what you think.
What science thinks my bones look like.
Yeah, science.
What x-ray vision? No, x-ray. What x-ray say?
No, you had it right.
Yeah, yeah. So in the past couple episodes, we talked about, like, we were on teaching series, and we would teach things, and then we would share things with students. And so another teaching series we were on, we were talking about the character series already a couple times. We went through characters of the Bible. We went through another series called Mountain Movers, and we talked about how faith, the size and the same qualities of a mustard seed can move mountains. And so we went through some scriptures, some places, and talked about people that had faith that moved mountains, like big mountain moving faith, even in small steps, little things, big things, whatever. I was teaching one night and shared a story, and you had said after it was over with, you were in the back of the room during the night, because if you teach or if I teach, we're both in the room most nights. So
usually there's always a heckler, so it's got to be one of us.
Yes. We make sure student ministry goes non-heckle free.
The students are typically like, would you please shut up? I'm trying to listen. We're like,
they're taking notes. They're taking notes. Yeah.
I'll go over there and slap a pin out of the student's hands. I'll show you.
Every group has one. Our group didn't have any. They're all really good. So we're like, we have to be that person.
Yeah. We're really good at it.
Throwing paper wads at people's backs. And they're like, what, would you stop? I'm paying attention.
Idiot.
Spirit start to move. Enter the Sons of Thunder.
Nip that right
the butt. The way it goes. So we were going through a series called Mountain Movers, and in that series, one of the nights I had shared about a guy named Joseph, who's found all throughout the scripture. He's really started in Hebrews 11. He's in the Great Hall of Faith.
In Genesis. But.
Yes, I started the message out in Hebrews. So in Hebrews chapter 11, for all of our listeners and all of our viewers and faithful Thunder Buddies, Hebrews 11 is the Great Hall of Faith, as a lot of commentators call it. It's a lot of faithful people. By faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so.
Rahab's in there.
Here's one of the ways that I saw that we could start monetizing this and making money is we have paid content that people have to pay for. That conversation is definitely a subscribe to.
Yeah, if you really want to know my view.
If you really want to know the true Sons of Thunder thought process, then it's going to cost you $100 a year. It's $99.99.
And it's not in the Bible, but they didn't write every single thing that happened in the Bible. And of 2 million plus Israelites,
somebody's got to be like you.
There has to be a Joseph in that group.
There has to be a Joseph.
Has to be.
Not like the Joseph we're talking about today.
No.
He's the opposite of this Joseph.
There is. Our father had great plans, but.
Did you see on the day that the podcast released on July 1st in our hometown, it was thunderstorming?
Yeah. It was terrifying.
I couldn't tell if that was God's marketing for us or if that was. If our dad in heaven has any say about what happens, and he's like, I fully disapprove of this.
Yes, so yes.
I'm gonna make sure the thunder happens.
A part of me thought it was that angel that spoke with Bezalel.
Yeah. You don't even know my name. How dare you? How dare you start talking about me? Anyway, so we start out in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, talked about how Joseph was a faithful guy. I want to give a little background on who Joseph was. His great-grandfather was Abraham, right? So you think about that, his great-grandfather. I remember our great-grandfather, one of ours that was still alive whenever we were around.
I remember great memories of
I had great memories Papa of our Harmon. Of our Papa Harmon. He was an incredible man. He was a soldier. He fought in the military. He was kind of a hero. He was in one of the battles that was like a crazy story. Sorry,
when you first said that, I thought you said he fought the military. It's like, wow.
No,
Papa.
He went against Saul. Bring it on.
He
was tough as nails. He was tough as nails.
He taught us stuff. Like, he was so funny. Like, it was one of those, like, he wouldn't even have to try. He just did stuff, and we're like, that was hilarious. Like, yes. That was great.
He was, he taught us how to play checkers.
Yes.
And then he would cheat. And pretend like he didn't know. He's like, oh, my, I'm sorry. I'm old.
So this is a message specifically to my wife, who may or may not ever watch this. I don't know.
She doesn't.
She knows that I cheat at any card game, board game. Like, if I don't cheat, then it's no fun in the game. So I'll do that in the game, and I learned that from my great-grandfather.
Yes. The Joseph in the scripture, his great-grandfather was Abraham, probably wasn't much of a cheater.
Abraham?
Now, he was a liar a couple of times.
Yeah, but cheating's the same as...
Is it the same?
Yeah.
Because you're lying about what you're doing? Okay.
Yeah.
Joseph's great-grandfather was Abraham. His grandfather was a guy named Isaac. Hmm. Right?
Didn't know that.
Yep. And then his father's name was Jacob.
What?
Whose name got changed to Israel, if you know much about it. So Joseph was one of...
This is a messed up family, by the way, too.
Whole messed up family. We can dive into some of that stuff at a different point, but... Yeah. Needless to say, Joseph had some big shoes to fill, right? Abraham, the father of faith, right? Isaac, the son of faith. Jacob, the grandson of faith. And now you got the great-grandson of faith right here, Joseph.
Right.
Joseph had a lot of things going on. He was very keen on spiritual things.
Yes.
He was favored by his dad. His dad loved him.
What I was like.
His dad loved him the most. He was hated by his brothers.
Yeah.
Very clear. He was sold into slavery. He was lied about. He was accused of something he didn't do.
Yeah.
He was thrown in prison. He was...
Are you smiling?
Because when he was thrown into prison, he then worked his way up to be a helper in the prison. Like, even the prison guards were like, hey, we're going to give you responsibilities because you're awesome.
There's a baker in the prison.
Then there's a baker in there, yeah. And he has a dream. Joseph interprets the dream. And the baker is like, he gets out. And Joseph's like, hey, just don't...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Forget me, man. I did you a favor.
Forget about it, Joseph. I
won't forget about you, Joseph. Are you kidding me?
I won't do that.
I could never forget about you, Joseph. He gets out. Guess what?
You're a swell guy. Sorry. You're a swell guy, Joseph.
And Joseph gets, the baker gets out, and Joseph gets forgotten about for 2 more years. He's in prison 2 more years for something he didn't do, mind you. And so he was forgotten about. And then he finally got his break, and he got out of prison and rose to be the second most powerful man in all the world.
Right.
That is a roller coaster of a story, yeah. Right? That is a roller coaster story.
I guess.
So I wanted to give you that little kind of storyline of his life, because we're not going to talk about his life. I hate talking about people's lives.
You want to talk about their death?
I want to talk about their death and their corpses. That's what I want to talk about. I waited until you took a drink before I said that. Does it burn?
Oh, it went back up. It somehow tickled my brain.
So I got you here. So Joseph was a great dude. I want to talk about kind of the first step of his whenever he was dying, his last words, his final moments. And then I'm sure you have some thoughts as to what comes next, but I want to play this out.
Are we talking about the paid version? What I'm thinking?
We're going to give it away for free today.
We'll give some of it away.
This is for free.
It's a teaser.
So Joseph, at the end of his life, he's surrounded by all the lusters of Egypt. He was surrounded by all the luster of Egypt. He didn't ever succumb to the temptations or any of that kind of stuff. I want you to think about this. He experienced Egypt as a slave.
Right.
Because he was owned by a guy named Potiphar. He was a slave in his house. Then he went from a slave to being the second most powerful man in all of Egypt.
You think Potiphar was still alive?
Yes. 100. Wait, when he died?
No. Like right when he became the second most.
Because Potiphar was also on the king's court.
Okay, yeah.
You got to know when Joseph takes, whenever the Pharaoh's like, hey, here's
my.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to think Joseph probably looked over at him and looked at him.
Yeah, hey, Potiphar, I never got caught neither. Hey, he's like,
you were in prison. Yeah. I always wondered how Joseph forgave Potiphar's wife for doing what she did. And how did he forgive Potiphar? Did he? He did, of course, because he was super spiritual.
Potiphar, let's bygones be bygones. Your wife is crazy.
I feel bad for you.
Yeah, she great, great man.
You've got enough punishment on your own in your house. He's like, Joseph was the first one to say, a quarrelsome wife who can live with, right? Yeah. That's a dangerous thing.
You, Potiphar.
Yeah, yeah. We both know. He looks over and he's like, hey, Potiphar, how you doing? Potiphar's like, I'm okay. Sure. Sure. I know your wife. So Joseph has been rich. He's been poor in Egypt. He lived in prison. He also lived in the palace. Crazy, right? This right, in the yeah. same place. This is a Cinderella story if I've ever heard it. I liked it better the first time when it was called Cinderella. I'm just kidding. This was the first time. Cinderella was based off of, that doesn't make any sense either.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable.
He'd been,
where this is going.
He'd been looked down on and he'd been looked up to. He experienced everything Egypt had to offer.
All the stepsisters.
And then he gets to the end of his life and most powerful men in Egypt, they say, I got to design my tomb. I need to get all the big pyramid builders to get together.
Yeah, Egypt's kind of known for pyramids.
Yes, and they're big tombs of their pharaohs and other people. Joseph was the guy that spiritually rescued a people, like crazy what he did.
Right.
And instead of designing a big tomb and designing a big pyramid for his burial site, instead his request was, I want to get out of here, which is nuts.
Yeah.
Egypt had given him everything that any of us would want, right? Riches, power, influence, all the things. And he wanted to get out. He believed God for redemption. So he tells, I got some scripture here to read. So in Hebrews 11, just so you know where it came from, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. That's what the New Testament says. So you go back to Genesis chapter 50,
right.
In verses 24 to 26, it says this, and Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt.
Okay. So first off, he's second in command over the most powerful nation, most flourishing nation in the world.
Yes.
And he's still saying, this is not our home. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. To think, all that there would never been a more powerful nation.
Which means, and also, he had more than anybody else in the entire nation.
Yes. Yes.
And his family was taken care of at that time.
Yes. He had everything he could possibly ever want.
And still knew.
And still said, this isn't what God wants for us. Which should tell us, as much as we have, we're both crazy loaded.
Loaded.
We have so much, what?
Are you talking about money or like?
No.
Butter?
I have a lot of mac and cheese, basically.
I
went to Chick-fil-A the other day and I got a large mac and cheese, ate that whole thing and wanted more. You and I have no money, but Joseph in the scripture had everything. He had all this money. So he says, I want you to take my body. I want you to put me in a coffin. Don't put me in a pyramid. Don't put me in a big tomb. Put me in a coffin, and you're going to take my bones out of here. Now, it hadn't happened yet.
Right. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen for a while.
Right.
Joseph dies, and you got to think, the memory of Joseph is still there. So the people of Israel are really not like slaves at this point.
No.
They're living in the land in relationship with the Egyptians.
Right.
So that's what he's telling his brother, because who's going to enslave the number two in command's family, right? That's like...
Nobody, because he saved the nation.
He saved the entire nation. He saved the world.
God saved the nation. Yeah, God saved the world through this one guy. So his family's kind
faith.
Of important.
His family's a big deal, very important. So he tells his brothers, he's like, hey, I don't want to be here, and God's going to bring us out, so here we go. So then it gets interesting. The part that we don't think about, I think the night I preached this, you were like...
I literally walked up to you and I said, this has never crossed... I've read it before. I've read this part.
Sure.
It never registered in my head. And see, okay, so this is another thing too, real quick, that my wife and I talked about the other night. She was like, you and your brother seem to know a lot about the Bible. I was like, well, it's not that we know a lot about the Bible. It's just we've heard it so much in our life.
Our whole life.
Our dad was just constantly, I said,
yeah.
Many Christians are like, they've got 5, 10 years even experience. I said, I'm 39 years old and I had 80 years worth of information dumped into my brain because our father was like a Energizer bunny when it came to that stuff.
Yeah.
So I told her, I said, one of the things that bothers me, and again, we talked about one of the reasons we're doing this podcast is people make Christianity boring.
Yes.
But the other thing they do is people who know certain parts of Scripture almost seem like the I already knew that, and they act all
right,
all smudge,
all like
they're all like I'm super smudge. I already know that, and yeah. I was like, we need to get back to the place where we're excited when we learn something or we hear something. It's maybe something we even already know. We're like,
yeah,
snap.
And even admit that we didn't know that.
I did not know this. I did not know. Again, I've read it.
Right. And it's there.
And it's there a couple of times.
Yes, a few times.
It's throughout Scripture.
Yeah, there's like, I got like 4 or 5 different references here that talk about this.
And
it was the same thing as like the Bezalel thing, right? Like you had taught that night and I was like, I've never heard that. And I went and told you, I was like, man, you knocked it out of the park. This was it, right? This is the part. Yes. I learned something. When I learned something, I want to make sure and mention it. So here's what happens. So scene takes place. And then over in Exodus chapter 13.
Right? Wait a minute. Exodus?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that means it was after this.
After this.
They were exiting.
So they were exiting. And we know.
Joseph was right.
If you read through Exodus, so the very first part of Exodus, a new Pharaoh comes in charge, didn't know who Joseph was. His testimony was gone. So he oppressed the Israelites. They became slaves. So now here's what happened. In Exodus 13, verse 19, I'll go ahead and read it. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. Moses had, so here's what I picture, all right? The Israelites are now moving out of Egypt, right? The Exodus has happened. If you don't know the story of the Exodus, go read Exodus chapters 1 through 12, okay? And then get to chapter 13, and you'll see the Exodus happen. And as you watch this, as you see, I mean, there's plagues. It is a big deal.
Some crazy stuff happens.
Some crazy stuff.
And the fact that God still hardened the heart of Pharaoh.
Yes.
Like, hey, you got to harden it pretty hard.
When you're given that many.
Let my people go or this is going to happen. That was a coinky ding.
Yeah. Nice try. So here's what happened. Because God didn't promise the Israelites Egypt. He promised them Canaan.
Right.
Right. He said, that's the promised land, the places right. Abraham was, right? That was the promise. Egypt, there's some plagues happen. There's no doubt there's a God in Israel whenever the plagues are going on. Egypt is about to happen. So you got to think, all the Israelites, they're leaving Egypt, so they pack up all their stuff. What is all their stuff? All their stuff has come from Egypt, right? They've been in there for hundreds of years. So now they're in Egypt.
I thought of beach toys for some reason. Building sandcastles, like
yeah. So generations have come and gone. So now all their clothes were made in Egypt.
Yeah,
all their
Egyptian cotton
for sure. That's the best cotton.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's why a lot of them wanted to go back.
They were. We're not there yet.
Sorry.
So they're leaving Exodus. They've got all their jewelry. They've got all their all their stuff that they're adorned in Egypt. And as they leave, all their money is Egyptian. All their everything that they are taking with them is Egyptian.
Mm.
Except for we look at Moses.
Right.
Right. Because it says in Exodus 13, verse 19, again, Moses took with him the bones of Joseph. So everybody's grabbing all their stuff, and Moses is like, I need that coffin.
Give me some skeleton.
I need a skeleton to go with me. And so so what's in Moses' bag? There's a coffin in there.
I would let them go too. They sound really psychotic.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So everybody left Egypt with the riches of Egypt.
Except
for Moses. He left with something far more valuable. And here's where the sermon kind of started really taking root. So my point was those bones were speaking. Those bones said something, right? Having those bones with him. So whenever, if you remember, let's listen to the way the bones spoke, right? So we had played this out a couple weeks ago whenever we started talking about the podcast. And we were like, hey, we should do some fake interviews of people, right? We should do some things that are, we should interview people that weren't mentioned in the Bible but could have been there, right?
There had to be these people there.
Somebody had to carry the coffin.
Because
right?
Moses couldn't have done...
Moses wouldn't have done it. He was going up to the mountain of God. He was leading different places. Like, he wasn't the one with the coffin on his shoulder, right?
Right.
So we made up a guy that was, right? And so we talked about his name was Obi, the guy
Obi,
we... Obadiah, right. But we shortened his name to Obi. His last name was Dungheel.
It's very biblical.
Very biblical. Obadiah Dungheel.
Obadiah Dungheel.
And he was, we talked about like interviewing him. And it's like, hey, what were you doing when, marching through the wilderness for 40 years? And he's like, I was carrying this box.
I didn't know for the first 2 years what was in it.
I was a pallbearer for 40 years. Everybody, and listen, here's what's wild. Everybody that died in the wilderness, they just buried them.
Right.
They weren't taking them with them. Joseph's bones were being taken with him.
Well, so, they didn't specify. They should have specified.
They should have specified. Take me to where Joseph's bones are going. I can imagine these bones speaking. So whenever they had the Israelites get out there and they tell Moses, they're like, "Did you bring us out here to die? We were fine in Egypt, right? We were good." And then I hear the sound of the bones in my own mind, and they're saying, "Listen, we're not supposed to die here. God's not done with us. Don't stop." Right? You weren't meant to be in Egypt. You're meant to be in Canaan. So let's keep going. It's a little further. God will bring us through.
Right?
That's what we talked about. God will bring us through wherever we're at. That's what Joseph's bones are saying. Why? Because his bones are still traveling. Right? They're still traveling.
Right.
So I want to hear from you in your mind. So what was daily life like in the wilderness with do you think they took turns carrying Joseph's body? Or do you think it was one guy? Do you think it was just Obi?
I bet it was like somebody's, one, like Obi's family. Like, that's like, "Hey man, okay, your task," Moses, like, "your task, like, Bezalel, you're going to eventually build the Ark of the Covenant." He's like, "That's awesome. Your job is to carry around a bunch
think
of
about
bones."
This. While Bezalel was building the Ark of the Covenant, somebody was watching over the coffin.
Yeah. It's like, "What are you doing? Making sure the bones don't go.
Make sure nobody steals this." We were put in charge of this. I mean, you think they're building the tabernacle, and there's a coffin still here.
They're carrying.
How weird is this, right? How weird is this? They didn't bury him. They kept him wherever they went. Do you think he had his own little tent? Doesn't specify.
I
don't think they're going to leave this coffin out in the weather.
Yeah, surely it stinketh.
Surely it stinketh.
Surely it stinketh. So my thought is, like, Moses grabbed it. And again, I never realized they carried the bones of Joseph, even though it says it in there and I've read through it.
Yeah.
Never realized for 40 years. So that's why I think Caleb had something to do with it. Because when Caleb went and with Joshua and spied out the land, he's like, "Hey man, they're giants. Let's go get it."
But Joseph said,
"Yeah,
we're going to be in here."
Well, not only that, Obi's been complaining about this box.
It's time to go home.
He's like,
"It's time to go home."
I bet Obi,
because that was before the 40 years, right? That was before the first spies went in.
Yeah,
was before the 40 years. So they take it. Listen,
it was Obi's dad.
"This box is smelling rough, so we got to get out of here. We got to get back into this land." But they're carried a coffin with them. Again, whenever I started realizing it, and you know, again, it was in my study of Hebrews 11. I thought Joseph said, "This is what. We will not die. We will not be in Egypt. We're going to be," and here's where, I'll tell you, well, I'll get to it in just a minute. There's a big hook that's coming.
I'll give you a crazy fact, because again, he said this, and then there were 40 years in the desert.
Yes.
That they had to wander.
Yes.
And he said, nobody over the age of 20, right?
Yes.
Nobody over the age of 20 is going to be allowed in here except for Joshua and Caleb.
Yep.
Whoever is carrying the bones of Joseph didn't make it into the Holy Land. Didn't make it into the Promised Land.
There you go.
Probably. I mean, I can't imagine.
Unless it was an 18-year-old.
I would have put a teenager in charge. That would have been the student ministry.
That's exactly right.
Carry this. Because they were probably like,
I almost think it was somebody young enough that they could have made it all the way through because of the testimony.
I am going to put him in the ground.
I will bury him myself.
This is going to happen. I have one. I mean, but that's like their task for 40 years. That's somebody's task.
To carry the bones of Joseph.
Because he said, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, he said that this is like God promised this land to our great-grandfather. Like, he knew that whole time.
Yeah.
Like, man, we've got everything we can even imagine, but this is not our home.
Here's what's wild about it. So Joseph's life, you got to think, he grew in faith, and his story is ridiculous and awesome. As he grew in faith, though, he was always thinking back to, we're not made for Egypt.
Right.
We're made for the Promised Land, which, in Egypt, as for all of our listeners to understand, like, Egypt in Scripture always represented the world. It represented, after this, when Abraham even went to Egypt the first time, like, it was a sign of disobedience. Like, it was a sign of disobedience. It was a picture of the world because it had wealth and luxury and all kinds of crazy stuff. And It was flesh magnets, right? It was like everything you could possibly want, Egypt has. And so Egypt was the picture of the world. And so now you've got Joseph who says, we weren't made for Egypt.
Well, and also,
we're a people of faith, the people of God. We weren't made for the world.
It also brings to mind how faithful Moses was. And I think one of the greatest things that Moses was as a leader was he was true to his word. No matter what he said, because like with Bezalel, he quoted exactly what God told him to Bezalel and said, this is how you're going to make it. Verbatim, exactly, word for word, what
God
said.
Do you think there was any moment where Moses was like, if I didn't take the coffin to the next spot, what's it matter?
I think he got some really hyperactive kids, and he's like, your job is to carry this box. That's your job. So I think he may have calmed him down.
Everywhere you go. The last thing we see about these bones is found not in Joshua chapter 1. Moses dies. This is what's crazy. So Exodus goes all the way through. You can go read Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All that happens while they're in the wilderness.
Right.
And then Joshua comes into play. Joshua goes. Exploding Jericho Josh, one of our favorite wrath buddies.
Yep.
He goes in, attacks Jericho, the first city in Canaan. Goes in, attacks that city, wins. Then goes and attacks Ai, and they lose because of something pretty bad. And then they go back.
Intelligence, man. That's what they mess around with. I'm just saying.
That's right. Then they go and win it. And then they go victory after victory. Joshua, I call the book of victories because it's just like he just storms through victories after everything. Then in Joshua 24, if you remember, Joshua gets up and stands in front of the leaders of Israel, then in front of the entire group of Israel. And here's what happens in Joshua 24, the end of Joshua's life. All right. So not only we've gone through all of Moses' life, all of Joshua's life. Here's what happens in Joshua 24:32. As for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance for the descendants of Joseph. So what we see is the bones of Joseph that remember, Joseph was sold into slavery, sent to Egypt, slave, whole story, most powerful. Then he says at the end, God's not designed us for this place. He's designed us for another place. So because of that, I want you to take my bones and put me in the place that God wants me to be put. So in my mind, here's what Joseph's bones have said this whole time. One, God's going to bring us out, right? He'll bring us out of Egypt. And then God will bring us through. He'll bring us through the wilderness, through every trial, every temptation, everything that we're going to face. The bones of Joseph are a testimony that we're going to make it through. Then in the last part of Joshua, after the Holy Land has been conquered, after the Canaan has been conquered by the people of God, then it says, in my mind, the bones of Joseph says, God will bring us up. And here's why. Because he says in Genesis 50, God will visit you and your bones will be taken from this land to another land that God has promised you. So here's what I'm thinking Joseph's bones are telling us today. We're not made for this world.
Ooh.
And he's going to bring us to the place that we are made for, which is in his presence.
Ooh.
How had I never heard a sermon on this? I was 42 years old before I even preached it. 42.
Well,
how on earth?
Well, here's the what was the first point again that sermon?
That God will bring us out.
Well, here's the problem. Christians today aren't even to the point where they want to come out of Egypt. They want to stay in
the land. That's the way the whole people of it, all the people of God wanted to go back.
They all wanted to go back.
Right.
That's what happens today. They're like, we're living in comfort, we're living in all this stuff, like everything. We don't want to get rid of, like, God's blessed us, so he would never ask us to leave this. I'm like, what do you love more? Do you love Egypt or do you love God?
Right.
So, here's the other thing, too, that blows my mind. Because as you were doing that, I started immediately, like, rolling through. Because in the Mountain Mover series mentions Joseph in one situation because he was buried in Shechem.
Yeah.
Which is the same place that Jesus met the Samaritan woman, was in this same valley.
Right.
Could you imagine Jesus sitting there talking to the woman at the well? And I wonder if, like, at first he's just kind of staring off, like, because he knows. He's like, man, I remember when they came through right there. And somebody's like, "What, Jesus, what are you talking about?
Daydreaming again.
It's like, I remember when Joseph's bones came through right here. And this is like, because also right there in that area, the Sychar and then Shechem, it's in between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, which is the Mount of Blessings, the Mount of Curse. Like,
yeah, where the altar, the sacrifices happen. Yeah.
This is insane. Like, it all happens in this one area, and Jesus arrives at the same area. And I'm like, everything is intertwined. From Genesis chapter 50 to John, then the book of Hebrews, when they're talking about Joseph.
Yeah.
And understanding the whole time, like, that's what I think. I wonder if Jesus is sitting there, because he says, not even on this mountain are you going to worship me.
Right.
My people are going to worship in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
Because Joseph knew.
Yes. And here's what I like, what bothers me is
people.
People bother me bad, because the question becomes,
You're a thunder buddy.
Unless you're an official thunder buddy, then you don't bother me.
I want to make shirts in Comic Sans font that just says Thunder Buddy.
No, we cannot
white
have Comic
shirt,
Sans.
White shirt, black font.
No. No Comic Sans.
Someone please comment and say that we need Comic Sans.
No Comic Sans.
More Comic Sans in Times New Roman, baby!
No Comic Sans.
Oh, dude!
Papyrus. But here's what I'm thinking.
Work for Avatar.
How terrible is it? How terrible is it that some guy's skeleton is a better testimony than our living, breathing words?
It reminds me, too, of when Jesus tells them, says, hey, if my disciples remain silent, the rocks will cry out. Yeah. I remember one of my favorite lessons I ever taught was, don't be outsmarted by a rock.
Yeah. You're dumb as a box of rocks. That's what I taught it as one time.
You're literally, you're dumber, but
dumber than a box of rocks.
Could you imagine? There were people who saw the bones of Joseph, knew the promise,
yeah,
and still died in the wilderness.
Because of unfaithfulness.
Because they said, well, the giants are too big. But we're gonna keep watching these bones get carried, because the bones are smarter than I am.
Yes. Can you imagine? I just want to know, like, if you're in this scene, somebody's got to carry a coffin. I think it was young people, because I think young people are better, because they just blindly lead by faith, right? So like a young person will not think, well, this looks dumb, me carrying bones. They just heard Moses say to somebody, hey, carry these bones through this desert, through this wilderness.
Will do.
Everywhere. I'm on it.
There's a family that used to go to our church. There's like 18 kids.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about. There's not really 18 of them.
It's close.
And I think some of them are actually faithful, rat buddies, faithful thunder buddies. And
you know who you are.
Yeah, they definitely know who I'm talking about. That's they remind me of that. Like if Moses said, hey, carry this box of bones, instead of being like, why? They'd say,
right.
Okay.
I'm on it.
And they don't say, like, I've always heard too, like, you need to be to the place where somebody, when our dad said, jump, your first thing would say, how high? No, it wouldn't. If our father told us to jump, we just jumped.
Yes.
Didn't care, like, okay, and we would go.
I told him one time, he asked me that question. He's like, you know, if I say jump, what do you do? What do you say to me? I said, I don't say anything. I said, I just jump as high as I can, as many times as I can, until I either pass out or you tell me to stop.
That's exactly right. Because I'm like, we had that faith, like, okay, there's a reason that he would tell us to do that.
Right.
Moses was like that. And here's what kills me. As I've gotten older, I've realized I didn't want to be like so many of the older Christians that I've seen, which they kind of get indulged in the Egyptian, not modern day Egypt, the Egypt lifestyle from the Bible.
Yeah.
They get so like consumed with, oh, we got to make sure this happens, and they completely push God out of the picture.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. And the greatest thing is, we talked about breaking generational curses. We never had to do that.
Right.
We didn't have to break a generational curse, because our father did.
It was done before us, yeah.
So one thing I always saw our dad do, dad was serious. I mean, when he was preaching the gospel, I mean, you can't like just straight-laced, he presented the gospel.
Yeah.
But dad had this sense of humor that really is what warped us. I mean, let's be honest. That's what messed us up.
People think we came up with this on our own. This actually was instilled in us years and years
at birth. But yes. The other thing is, like, I saw dad have that genuine joy.
Yeah.
Like, have excitement about everything when it came related to scripture.
So here's the question. I'm going to interrupt you.
Go.
I got a question. How do you have joy carrying a coffin?
How do you have joy carrying a coffin?
I want you to think about pallbearing. It's one of the saddest things ever.
Yes.
Imagine doing it for 40 years. And then another, however many years Joshua fought all the battles in the book of Joshua, which was another, I mean, at least 30 years, if I'm adding it up right. I didn't do the research. I should have before I started. But we've got, I mean, imagine, how do you find joy carrying a coffin?
I mean, I've read they think anywhere between 100, 150, 200 years, Joseph's in a coffin they're just carrying around.
Yeah.
Like, not in this situation, right. But like, I think you have the same mindset as the bones. You know
what the bones say.
You know what you're listening to what the bones are saying. You know what the people before you have said,
which is the word, right? Because it's God's word that says you're gonna get out of this Egypt, and I'm gonna take you to a land that I've promised you.
And again, the paid Sons of Thunder portion, I will let people know that I think one of the pallbearers are the ones that made a very bold statement at the walls of Jericho. I think it was one guy holding up the bones of Joseph that said something. People are going to want to know.
They're going to want to know.
Trust me, you're eventually going to want to know.
I shared it with. So I was having lunch with a pastor the other day.
Oh gosh,
he said. I said, you see what released? It was the first day we released. And he said, no. And I said, it was the Sons of Thunder podcast. He said, I've heard about that. He said, where have I heard about that? I was like, it's taken over the world. I'm surprised you haven't listened yet. And he said, I'll listen all the way up. The Bible's fun.
It is fun.
It's convicting and it's horrific and it's a lot of blood. It's a lot of murder. I mean, we just talked for 40 minutes, 50 minutes about a dead body that people are carrying around. Like, what?
Somebody's got jokes.
You think that was a comedian? It was one of the guys carrying the...
I think so.
Boy, I tell you, my arm's tired.
Again, I have reasons to think that, but... I mean, I never thought about that, though. Going through reading scripture before, I never thought about Joseph's bones being carried throughout the wilderness into the promised land.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. Potentially 100 plus years.
But the bones had a message.
Yep. They did.
We're not meant for Egypt. We're not meant for this world. We're meant for something better.
We're meant for another world. And God's going to take us there. That's good. That's good.
Man.
I feel like this episode may have been a little bit more like serious.
Do you want me to bring the angel back?
Do you think the angel was there whenever they all of them started packing up and the angel's like, don't forget the bones.
Don't forget. Joseph, look. Look down there. They got your bones, Joseph. Look. You're like made of jello right now. They got your bones down there. Check it out. Look. Oh, man. Look. Obi almost dropped you. Your bones are shifting now. Could you imagine this? Joseph's in the presence of the Lord, so...
Yeah, yeah. So he's watching it happen.
He's sitting there, you know, the do-rag, the angel.
The angel with the do-rag.
He's like, Joseph, check it out.
They're afraid of the giants. You got to roam around for 40 years. Joseph's like, can you make me roll over in that thing a couple times? Give it a little earthquake. Give it something.
Uh-oh, Obi's going to trip. There's a rock.
It does, you know, it does make me wonder how much of the world heaven can see, right? The people that are in heaven, the people that are, and
an
you know,
angel can
we
see.
Could talk about the whole, the angel's translating everything to Joseph.
Joseph's just sitting there with a VR. I'm your narrator.
Got his little earplugs in, like you're at a tour at a museum. It's like, I'm going to narrate this for you. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, so Joseph's bones, let them speak. Oh,
because he had a good life.
He really did have a good life.
He did.
Well, he had a crappy life. He had a bad life and then a really good life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations. You made it to the end of this episode. If you laughed, cried, confessed something accidentally, or now need to call your therapist, you are an official Thunder Buddy now. As we close, our challenge is simple. May your inner joy be loud enough to scare your inner Pharisee. The thunder left us a microphone, and for reasons heaven refuses to explain, we're still using it. This has been the Sons of Thunder podcast, where the forecast is always 100% chance of laughter with a side of emotional damage.
Amen!
There's that. Thank you so much for being here and being a part. If you would like to see your soda or your if you want to see your soda brand shown on the Sons of Thunder podcast, then give us money. We need it.
Yes, we do.
Anything else you want to say?
Bye!